been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast. Hey there, John Sabo here, Far East Travels Podcast, coming to you from Central Vietnam, Da Nang, Vietnam, and we are still in a, what I would call a soft lockdown. It's not a real true lockdown in the fact that, there's lots of services still available, or mostly stores selling essential items, but many things have been closed, but many of those things are kind of more non-essential services. And I'll have a report for you on what's happening here in Vietnam, talk a little bit about Taiwan, Malaysia, Thailand, Bali, and Nepal in this episode. And thank you for your patience, and I'm back here after a little bit of a break. And I'm also going to be having some guests on again in the next little while, so I hope you can look forward to that. I'm going to get my friend Bruno from Taiwan to give us an update, because Taiwan is really kind of just taking a turn for the worse lately. Certainly not as bad as any of the other countries suffering from the pandemic, but certainly compared with their record previously, it's really been going down, you know, in Taiwan over the last couple of weeks. So we'll get all of that in this episode. So again, as usual, I'll leave a couple of links in the show notes, one of which is if you want to support the podcast and all of the work that I do, including the YouTube channel and things like that. There's a Patreon page. You can check that out, and the offer is there to pledge monthly. You can also just do a one-off pledge as well. There's a link there. And then also to support the podcast and help others discover the Far East Travels podcast, writing a review in the iTunes Store or Apple Podcasts really helps as well. And there'll be a link in there. Just make sure you're signed into that account. And then rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. So what's going on here? Well, I will tell you, you know, living through the stay at home last year in Ho Chi Minh City, and now with this, there are some similarities and, you know, differences as well, not being as urban oriented here. Certainly, you know, I feel less tension here than I did in Ho Chi Minh City, particularly towards the end of the stay at home, which was in April of 2020, and definitely more anxiety, but again, kind of not a real fair comparison, as it was still fairly new. And we didn't know anywhere near as much as we do now, and we didn't have vaccines, and kind of possibly a light at the end of the tunnel that we could see. So maybe a little bit different comparison. But, you know, certainly the people here, the local people here, are very resilient. But there are sure, some frustrations and a lot of, you know, daily activities that people would enjoy, especially in a recreational area like here, like going to the beach and things like that, have been put on hold. It can be a little bit frustrating for people. And then, of course, the schools and universities being closed, and then parents having to probably find other activities for their kids, or having somebody to look after their kids, has probably been challenging as well. So there's all those things that are going on here, would not call it a full-on lockdown. There are a couple of buildings or streets I've seen that have been cordoned off that would be locked down. In other words, people would not be as freely to come and go as they would in other parts of the city. But you can still go out. They're not discouraging you from going outside, like apparently they did last year, doing the severe I would say more severe lockdown here, where there was more cases going on. They were shooing people home. Here, they're not so much doing that. They do have attendance in public places like parks to ensure that people are social distancing. And so they have monitors and people to look after that, and police as well. So that's kind of what's going on here. Taiwan really was, the golden child as far as containing the pandemic throughout the world. They had one of the best records. Their people, and of course I know firsthand from friends that I've talked to, were feeling, very free walking around, not having to worry about wearing a mask in public, going to cultural events, concerts and things like that, to averaging 300 to 400 cases a day in the last week or so, and an all-time high of 700 cases reported on May 22nd. So it's been quite a turn, for the worse in Taiwan, still comparatively low with many other countries. So, if you compare it to many other rates in other countries, Taiwan is still doing really well. But if you compare it back to where it was, it's a different place for sure. And I even read some story about a concert that was planned, and a clarinetist from New York had flown all the way to Taipei to perform in this concert. He actually was quarantined for 2 weeks, and then before he was set to do the concert, it was canceled. So he had to go home, had quarantined for 2 weeks in a hotel in Taipei, and then wasn't even able to perform because they've halted all those events for now. So they are trying to, of course, like many other countries, get vaccinated or get their population vaccinated. But currently they only have 1% of the population vaccinated. So I'm going to get Bruno, my friend in Taiwan, to come on the podcast in the next few days and give us an update from the ground there, see what's happening. I was on his podcast a few days ago telling him about what it was like in Vietnam right now, particularly here in central Vietnam. But the worst spots are really in the north and the northern provinces of Bac Giang and Bac Ninh. Tuesday, May 25th, the country set a new record for local cases transmitted, 444 in one day since the start of the pandemic. So that was a record high for Vietnam, which, again, relatively low numbers compared with other parts of the world. But 375 of those cases came from Bac Giang province, and both Bac Giang and Bac Ninh are industrial hubs. So most of those cases are coming from factories in the area. So you can see why Vietnam really was not focused on so much on trying to restart international tourism or really have any kind of energy on focus on that, and more really on protecting their bread and butter, which are these factories manufacturing, which is a much greater part or bigger part of the GDP than the international tourism sector is. So, if an outbreak occurs in one of these factories that could have up to 70,000 people, you can imagine what kind of devastation it could have on the economy, not only the people themselves, but the economy itself. So this is why Vietnam is one of the reasons why Vietnam has done what they've done. Now, Hanoi has also had, several cases of late, and they've put in some new restrictions in the city. They've closed restaurants, cafes, and hair salons, and there's only takeaway available now in restaurants, where we've pretty much done that here in Da Nang right from the beginning. They're just starting to do that in Hanoi. And Ho Chi Minh City still has some closures of non-essential businesses, but overall probably a little more normal feeling there than anywhere else right now in Vietnam. They only had one new case out of this last batch that I was talking about, this last batch of 444. And as far as Da Nang goes, well, in the last few days there haven't been any new cases reported outside of clusters or groups. So if there's been any new cases, they're just cases that have already been part of a contact tracing cluster or group. So nothing new here or new clusters here, which is good news. Now, moving around the region, and I want to talk a little bit about Thailand, because Thailand has seen a huge new outbreak of cases. In the same period, they had 3,226 new cases, and 26 fatalities in all of Thailand. And in the meantime, Thailand is still set to open up Phuket for quarantine-free reopening to vaccinated tourists starting July 1st. So if you've had your vaccines and you can prove it, then you'll be able to go back to Phuket or visit Phuket, and you will not have to be quarantined. So they are still going ahead with this. So this would be the first place, I believe, in Southeast Asia that would be open to tourists. And so we'll see how that goes. But that is still slated for a July 1st opening. Malaysia's rate of COVID infections in the last week has surpassed India's as far as the rate goes. So Malaysia had 205 new cases for every million people in the population, compared with 150 per million in India. Now, of course, India's over a billion population. So, I mean, the numbers are still much greater than the population of Malaysia, but the rate of cases has grown substantially and passed the rate for India just of late in Malaysia. So the government is aiming to vaccinate 80% of its population by the end of the year. Currently, there's only 5% of the population that's been vaccinated, and that's for Malaysia. And then over to Cambodia. On May 25th, Cambodia confirmed 568 new cases, 663 recoveries. And as of May 25th, which would be yesterday, as far as the date of the broadcast of this episode, they're still awaiting an answer from the U.S. Embassy in Phnom Penh on the request of a donation of 4 million vaccine doses from the United States. So that is it for East Asia, Southeast Asia. Over to New Zealand, Victoria, that had a travel bubble going. They put a temporary 3-day suspension of travel between New Zealand and Victoria because of 5 new locally detected cases in Victoria with no links confirmed so far between those cases. So that's just a 3-day suspension on that little bubble there. And then over to Nepal in South Asia. And May is really the climbing month of the year for summiting Everest. There's usually only a small window of ideal weather conditions in order to summit Mount Everest, the highest peak in the world, the highest mountain in the world. And that usually falls sometime between the middle of May, but can fall a little bit later or a little bit earlier, of course, depending on the weather patterns. But an Austrian guide has confirmed in Kathmandu, after evacuating his team from the mountain, that there was an initial outbreak of COVID-19 at Everest Base Camp. And he says at least 100 cases were confirmed by pilots, hospitals, insurance companies. But Mira Acharya, a director of the Department of Tourism that oversees climbing the mountain, says the government has not received any notice of an outbreak of COVID at base camp or the mountain, and says there are teams continuing to attempt summits of the mountain. That's for Everest and Everest Base Camp. So that's what's going on there. So what does this all mean for you if you're a traveler? Well, you know, I had been saying in the last couple of months that, you know, perhaps July might be too early for looking at more opportunities to travel to Southeast Asia in particular, possibly East Asia, but more so Southeast Asia. But that might have changed now with these new cluster outbreaks and possibly more sensitivity towards or more hesitation towards reopening too soon to even vaccinated tourists here for international travel. So that might change now till, who knows, maybe the end of the year, maybe not till 2022 now for Southeast Asia, as far as wider openings, because not only, you know, will a country have to open, but if it doesn't have direct flights for overseas visitors or travelers, then the hubs have to be safe and open as well. So Kuala Lumpur has to be safe, Hong Kong has to be safe, or Taipei, or wherever somebody might be coming through before they come directly to Phnom Penh or Vietnam, although Vietnam has now secured more direct flights from the U.S. with Bamboo Airways, but that would still be limited. So, you know, you have to have not only the countries open, but those hubs that are open and open consistently as well, so we don't have a lot of stranded travelers. So I think that there could be some places or options for travel in this region before the end of the year, but they would be very limited. So they would be like a place like Phuket that is isolated, is an island. So it's, you know, away from the general population. So it's easy to vaccinate the local population, which is what they've been doing in Phuket, and have them up to herd immunity and at least more resilient or resistant to any outside potential sources of COVID-19. Even with vaccinated tourists, they're still at risk, of course. So potentially it could be just places like that, possibly Bali, because Bali is looking to open to some countries, but they still haven't confirmed yet on that, and it would be July 1st as well. So it would be like isolated places like islands where they're maybe a little bit smaller. They can vaccinate up the local population, or they have had the local population vaccinated up. And so it's much less risk to invite people from the outside into these places. So perhaps before the end of the year, you'll see places like that open up. But generally speaking, for the, you know, the whole region, until there's enough vaccines to go around for everybody and bring all the populations up to, say, a 70 or 80%, I think the travel here may be limited for a little more than what I originally predicted. So that's kind of what's going on here, a little bit of wrap up. I'm going to have some guests on, going to have some expats on in the next little while, and some friends from around different parts of Asia to chime in and let us know how everything is going there. So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. You can also follow me, of course, on my YouTube channel. I have a new video that's up, and it's all about what's going on here. Actually, it was a video that was started in the markets of Da Nang, and then because of the closures and that, I started talking about you know, the effects of this latest closure and how it feels to be in the city again, or in the country with a new, you know, sort of soft lockdown going on here. So that's what's up on the YouTube channel. Of course, you can also follow me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, and Facebook, the Far East Travels podcast page, or John Sabo page, or Far East Travels page. So thanks again. And, you know, I know we will be traveling one of these days, maybe not in the next few weeks, but hopefully in the next few months. So I do wish you in the future safe travels. Namaste, tashi dalei, and peace.